Welcome to the Power Your Life radio show with host and success doc, Joanne White. Author, speaker, certified coach, and energy master, Doc White gets to the heart of what matters most. She features guests and experts to help you consciously create more success, health, and wellness in every area of your life, work, and relationships. They'll share their success stories, wisdom, and know-how to help you shine more light onto your day and into your life. Power your life right now. Here's Joanne White.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to Power Your Life, and I'm Joanne White. And how many of you would love to be going on faith, to take that leap of faith, just to be able to know without a doubt that even though you're going on faith and you're doing that leap, whatever it is, you're going to land on your feet or you're going to fly, whatever it is, you're going to be okay. Many of us don't know that, and many of us feel hesitant about doing that. And I have a very special person, a very special guest today, who is going to help us figure out how to do that, how to take a leap of faith and really find out that you'll be able to do that successfully. And her name is Michelle Meyer, and she is in partnership with the Divine, a transformational leader with energetic shifts that she helps create in people, especially women, who are ready to make a bigger difference in the world. Michelle specializes in helping women dissolve limiting beliefs and energetic blockages so they can step fully into their power, passion, and purpose. Both the angelic realms and the divine feminine energies of love and compassion are incredibly powerful and present in her work. She is compiling this wonderful book. Actually, she's compiled it as an author, Embraced by the Divine, the Emerging Woman's Gateway to Power, Passion, and Purpose. Michelle is a visionary leader, an international speaker, and the conscious entrepreneur creator of the Heal the Healer community. She sees clients around the world through her private healing practice, Angel Wings Healing, in Melbourne, Australia. Welcome, Michelle. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Joanne. Thank you for having me on the show.
It's my pleasure. So I love what we were talking about a little bit, and that is that taking that leap of faith, because you work with people and you help them do that. What is involved in taking that leap of faith?
For me, probably two key things. The first one of those is to get comfortable by getting out of your comfort zone. And that doesn't mean all in one big hit. It's basically taking baby steps, baby steps. One little bit each day, just out of your comfort zone. Maybe calling someone that you would like to connect with as a new connection. Just simple things to move you increasingly out of your comfort zone, to widen that comfort zone. So you get to a certain point where there isn't really even a comfort zone, because you have managed progressively over a period of time, maybe weeks, months, or even years, to get so comfortable with widening your circle of, widening your network, having moving through levels of fear about who you can approach, what you're capable of doing, and of course always doing your inner work around that. And the other key thing is creating a connection with the divine, if you don't already have one. And I know people be going, ah, what does she mean by that? It's very much about spending the time in the stillness each day, making that still, quiet time away from the busyness of the day a priority in your life every day. And in the stillness, go into the prayer and meditation and ask for divine guidance. Ask to be shown step by step what it is that you need to either do on a day-to-day, on a day-by-day basis, or what it is that you need to work on within yourself, or whether you need to hand over fears, worries, anxieties, and so on to the higher realms. So asking for step-by-step guidance from the higher realms to take you into a space where you are following divine guidance rather than trying to force and push and figure it all out yourself. So trusting in the divine guidance that you receive, and we may like to talk a little bit later on in the call about some of the ways in which the divine actually tries to get our attention and help us.
You know, that happens a lot. I want to talk about the stillness a moment, because many people think that there's one way to be still. And I know for me that that's not true. I can get into the stillness when I'm actually petting my cat. How is there one way in your mind of getting in the stillness? Does it have to be prayer or meditation? I mean, can it be a way that each one of us connects?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be the same way, because we're all individuals. So whatever works for one may not necessarily be the best way for another. For me personally, I'm very, very connected to nature. I'm very connected to my garden, which is an absolutely huge, gorgeous garden in Melbourne. So for me, one of the ways I go into the stillness is finding just a beautiful place in the garden and connecting with the energies of the flowers, the plants, just really feeling the beauty and the healing that is there for me, just in the garden itself. I can also, like for me, most mornings when I wake up, and I wake up fairly early, I'll spend some time in just, it can be a very simple kind of meditation in bed, even before I get up. It can be something as simple as just focusing on the breath, just doing some breathing exercises to bring me into center. It can be drawing in divine light through my crown chakra and spreading that into my heart and then expanding that out through my body. So it doesn't have to be difficult ways. You know, a lot of people, you know, you talk about meditation, the first thing they say is, oh, I tried that, I can't do that. Because what they're trying to do is just sort of sit down somewhere and maybe there's not much noise around them, which obviously is ideal. But then they're just going to sit there and try and switch off all the thoughts in their busy, busy mind and then wonder why it comes back to, oh, gee, I'd really like a cup of coffee right now, or, oh, what are we going to have for dinner tonight? And, you know, and after that, you've lost it. You really, there's no point
even trying
to continue the meditation. So what I usually talk to people about doing first off to establish a meditative practice is either doing some deep breathing exercises, and there are heaps and heaps of those around that people can Google and experiment with, and I have lots that I teach my clients as well. So that's one aspect. And the other thing too is give the mind something to actually focus on, so it's not going to distract you with all sorts of extraneous thoughts. So I recommend people should listen to beautiful relaxation guided meditations. And I've got lots of them on my site, but there are also lots that are just out there generally in the marketplace. And that gives the conscious mind something to really focus on. Maybe it's focusing on relaxing different parts of the body progressively. Maybe it's focusing on being taken to a beautiful place and, you know, following the instructions is what you're seeing in that beautiful place. What does it feel like? And all these kind of things, which gives the conscious mind something to do and allows that to be, I guess, pacified, if you like, while you're actually relaxing deeper and deeper into that meditative state. So that's a sort of like initial ways of establishing a meditative practice.
You know what I love to do? You talked about being in nature. I love to take walks in nature, and that's for me. I call it a power walk. It's a meditative walk. I ask for, like you said, I love it that you ask for. I ask a question. I'm walking through beautiful nature. There's a beautiful wooded area not too far from my house, and by the end of the walk, I have received guidance and I'm uplifted, and it's just a wonderful experience. How did you get into what you're into with teaching and healing? I'm always curious about how things began for people. Tell us your story.
Okay. Well, I guess with me, I was obviously very sensitive as a child. In fact, I was painfully shy as a child. Wouldn't say boo to anyone. And some of that I feel was just me as I am innately, and part of that was a bit of a learned behaviour to cope with perhaps a somewhat dysfunctional family, and without bringing up skeletons from the family closet, because both my parents are beautiful guides with me on the other side now, there was constant arguing between my parents, and it was a generation where divorce was not an option, and there were also certain things too in the background which meant that divorce doubly wasn't an option in this particular family. So I was an only child. I've had many, 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 many nights where I could just hear my parents arguing constantly, just, you know, a few feet away. And I didn't want to be caught in the crossfire with them, so I learned how to go inwards to try and distance myself, and that was, I guess, a survival strategy. But I learned very early on in school that even though I knew the answers to questions, that if I put up my hand all the time to answer the questions, that I made myself really unpopular really quickly. You know, people didn't like anyone who knew the answers. So I learned another coping strategy, which was keeping really quiet and pretending I didn't know stuff when actually I did. So that actually backfired. It meant that I was very, very quiet for most of my school education, even my university education, extremely quiet. So it really was a form of self-sabotage. In my year 8 at school, I remember I was called, as were all the students in the class, to give an impromptu 5-minute speech up on the dais at the front of the classroom. And I was, we picked topics out of the hat, and I was given the one for teachers. And now, you know, I could talk endlessly about teachers. That's fine. But then I was so scared of public speaking that I just stood up on that little stage and I could not speak a word for the entire 5 minutes. I couldn't even get an out. I was just totally frozen, petrified to the spot. So I'll never forget that. And
that's
I carried that total fear, terror of public speaking. In fact, of being exposed, of being visible. I now understand that a lot of that had to do with previous incarnations as a healer, where I was persecuted, put to death, burnt at the stake, all these kind of things. So that, at a soul level, had left a big imprint on me, which I've spent a lot of time clearing. I realised when I was living overseas on the tiny equatorial island of Nauru in 93-94, that I had this incredible ability that, you know, I just discovered to channel very profound poetry. And I would go somewhere private and the words would come through me as fast as I could write them down. So when I eventually came back to Australia, I wanted to find out, well, what is this that's happening? It's amazing. I don't understand it. What's going on? And I came across an energy channeling modality called Sekhem. And I took to it like a duck to water, and as they say, really, the rest is history. I basically, it felt so natural. It was like just remembering something that I'd known before. And since then, I've done all sorts of other energy healing modalities and hypnotherapy and psychotherapy and blah, 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 blah. But I got to the point where my leap of faith was when I was pregnant with my daughter, and I had the option of continuing in my corporate job, taking maternity leave and then continuing at a senior level in my corporate job, or taking that leap of faith and going into the healing business full time, which I took that leap of faith because I hated the corporate sector. And for me, I was so passionate about the healing work, and I was seeing the results that people were getting, that I thought, yeah, I want to do this full time. So from 95 through till 2010, that's what I was doing, with varying degrees of success financially, some not particularly successful at all. Then in 2010, I was given, after probably a series of somewhat gentler angel nudges, I was given a very hard angel shove, some might call it the holy 2x4, and I was forced to give up a whole lot of what I'd been doing that had been basically clutter, that had been taking a lot of my time and my energy and wasn't really yielding the results, and still working predominantly one-on-one with people. The angels had been guiding me for a long time to step it up, you know, that if I, wanted to be working with people and making a bigger impact, I needed to be working with more people. It was just, you know, the basic maths of it. So my business was recreated as a global business. So that was a huge leap of faith too. And I went through so many levels of fear, absolute fear about, you know, having all these people listening to me and about being vulnerable and exposed and possibly open for humiliation and all of that stuff, which had the very strong links into previous incarnations and which obviously I was still working on a lot at that time. So, you know, as it's happened, I've met an amazing network of people over the last few years, have gorgeous connections, friends, colleagues around the world, have clients around the world. I'm very comfortable now after my initial absolute terror of actually just getting up and speaking. And what's more important too is that at first when I took my business global and I was going up, launched my Heal the Healer community with a global webinar, a webinar series, and that, of course, was really throwing me in the deep end. I finished up. When I got over the initial terror of speaking up, and there were many, many layers of that. It wasn't just one layer, and it comes up each time we're called to step it up further. It's like, yeah, I can do this. And part of it is, at first, I felt that I had to, you know, emulate people that I perceived as being successful. And after a while, I realized that, no, I don't have to pretend that I'm someone or not. People are drawn to me energetically because of who I am in all my raw authenticity, warts and all. And, you know, I haven't got it all figured out. I'm the first one to admit that. I'm still learning day by day. But that actually tends to be a much more attractive vibration rather than some self-styled guru who's trying to make out that they're fully enlightened, that, you know, they don't have any issues to address and so on and so forth. So, you know, for me now writing this book that I'm the compiling author of, this Embraced by the Divine, the focus has been very much on the co-authors in this book sharing their stories from a very real, raw, honest, open place, because it's the authenticity which attracts people. It's that message that, well, if she can do it, then so can I. That's, you know, one of the core messages in the book.
You know, I think that's very important to really come from that authentic place. And initially, a lot of people are like you, like myself, are uncomfortable with that. But as you say, and I believe, that people are attracted, even if you're making a mistake, people would rather hear that vulnerability, that honesty, that authenticity, rather than that sense of total perfectionism and connect with you on that real level. So I totally believe that. You get a lot of guidance. You work with angels, as I do. How do you connect and how do you determine what messages to listen to, what's coming from your fear or your insecurity versus what's coming from divine, from the angelic source, so that you can follow them appropriately?
That's a really, really good question, Joanne. For me, I use the angels in all aspects of my work. I use the angels to ask for advice on any important decisions that I have to make, because for me, the connection with the angels, the communication with the angels always comes through as loving, gentle. It's never harsh. It's never puts me down. It always comes from a very, very loving, gentle place. The guidance can be very firm. It can have the feel of being rather like a loving yet firm parent at times, but there's never any anger. Some of the key ways that the angels communicate with me, you know, I started off with the seeing feathers everywhere. That was sort of, I guess, pre-digital age kind of thing. Now I get a lot of things like number sequences, which can often form like a running conversation almost when you understand what the number sequences actually mean. So you'll see the same number sequence repeated multiple times each day and think, oh, okay, get it now. That one of the ways which I get most of my guidance from is I go into the stillness, I go into that quiet space, and then I just ask my questions. And it can be something like, angels, how best may I serve and be abundantly paid to do so? Please show me a divinely aligned action step to take today. Please make it clear. Please make it simple. And please make sure that I fully understand it. Make it very, make it very, very plain and simple. And usually I will hear auditory messages that will come through, or it's just a knowing that appears in my mind. So I can ask questions on anything at all. One of the ways that I distinguish between the ego mind creating an answer, or the voice of fear, versus the angelic or higher realms true guidance, is that usually when I formulate the question in my mind, even before I finish asking the question, the answer of true divine guidance is already there. If I have to ask the question and then there's a delay of a few seconds or longer, it will be the ego mind that kicks in and substitutes something as an answer so you don't look silly, basically. So that's one of the key ways. When you get that instantaneous guidance, even before you finish asking the questions, trust that as truth. Trust that as higher guidance. If you have to wait a little while for the auditory answer, then just let that one go. It may be all right, but it may not be. You can't really be sure, so just let that one go. The instantaneous answers are the truth.
You know, what's also important is what you said earlier, and that is it's coming from a very loving parent, could be stern, but still loving, and if that voice is screaming at you and yelling at you and angry, it's not coming from the angelic realm. I want to ask you a
question. Absolutely not.
I was doing a healing with someone a couple of weeks ago, and I started seeing these numbers, huge numbers, and it just all over the place. Like, it wasn't just one, it was a series of numbers that came across and then down, and then it formed patterns, and it went on throughout the healing with her, and then it continued with me for days. How do you differentiate what the meaning of all the, because I got those, it was all different numbers. How do you know what those numbers mean?
At a conscious level, you probably don't. It's a sense that at a subconscious level, there are activations for you. It's activating certain parts of you, maybe some of your gifts, maybe light activation codes. The sense is that probably these number sequences that you were seeing were more significant for the person that you were working with rather than, just for you, although they probably also had some level of significance for you as well. I tend to, when I'm seeing the repeating number sequences, they tend to be much shorter, probably, about four digits or maybe five sometimes, but definitely not long strings of numbers at once. That's more about doing activation work, activating light codes.
Right. That's what I thought it was, activation, because, it also went on with me for days afterwards. I would walk and these numbers would again start appearing very quickly, and I got the same thought that you just mentioned, so thank you. Okay, so we talked about being authentic and how that really opens up doors, not only with people who feel that and can sense that energetically, but it also helps you connect more truly with the divine. How can people get to a place, Michelle, where they can feel a sense of being able to connect to the divine and feel that the messages that they're getting? I know we talked about the kind and the loving and the firm person, but how do they know what to trust? You and I seem to get messages the same way. I hear them, I get them also, and through a sense of knowing. Some people get them very differently. How can people trust that and feel empowered by the answers that they're receiving?
I suppose it just takes practice to really find out, first of all, how you in particular receive your messages. There are lots of ways the angels communicate with us. It can be like a repeating song, for instance, you're just going about your normal business and suddenly you get this song in your mind and find yourself singing the words, and then you actually stop and think what you're singing. Think, oh my God, that's just exactly what I needed to know. So
right.
Repeating messages or things that just seem to appear at exactly the right time you need it, I refer to as angel messages. I had an experience a little while ago where I'd done a teleseminar, and obviously, I was promoting a product on the teleseminar, and the following day I've been sort of negligible sales come in for the product, and I was driving somewhere. I thought, I was feeling really flat, really down, and just said in my mind, I said, is anybody really listening to what I'm saying? And right then, I had to pull up at some traffic lights. A truck pulled up next to me with a huge canvas side on it, and there was this massive map of the world on the side of the truck. And on the map were the words in huge letters, loved around the world.
Mm.
And it's like, yes, thank you. That was exactly what I needed to hear to bring me out of that slump that I was in, that maybe the product sales weren't there, but people were actually listening to what I was saying. So that was incredibly reassuring. And I get so many of those kind of examples. So when the guidance comes through either repeatedly on the same, if you get a repeated message or the same kind of message but given to you in different ways on the same day, that is also a way that the angels are really trying to get your attention. And duh, didn't get it the first time, but we'll try it again, folks. Yeah, so, if you get the same message coming through 2-3 times on the one day, often in rapid succession, definitely trust that as higher guidance. So there are really lots and lots of ways. Repeating messages is very common, as are the number sequences. For me, I see a lot of the 444, which is the angels as archangel numbers, so the angels are with you. And the other one I get a lot of as well is the 1414 or 1144, and that's basically, even if you feel you're going through a difficult time at the moment, the angels want you to know that they are with you and they are supporting you. So that's always a really comforting one to see. So yeah, there's heaps and heaps of ways. The other way too is that, for instance, when I have my little daily prayer and chat with the angels, is to ask that when I ask for a divinely aligned action step to take for the day, I have never ever had them come back to me and say, well, you've got to work harder, you've been really slacking off, you've got to pick up the pace, this is ridiculous. It's always along the lines of, you need to create greater balance, you need to go for a walk now, take some time off to rest. It's very beautiful, loving guidance that nurtures me. It's never about forcing, pushing, struggling, doing more. It's never about that. It's always about putting me first, recharging me so that I can then go on and be of greater service to people.
I think that's so important, because many, many healers forget, and many people who are in service for others forget that they have to really, truly take care of themselves to be able to have the energy and the wherewithal to, like you said, to serve. So it's extremely important. And the angels and the guidance isn't about having a taskmaster with the whip that goes, okay, work harder. So that's good. Michelle, your book that's coming out is Inspired. And tell us the story. Is there a story behind the book in terms of its inception, how the idea came to you?
Yeah, most definitely. It's quite an unusual kind of story. I had no intention of writing a book. Like, I guess in all honesty, it had sort of crossed my mind vaguely, but my instant dismissal of it was always along the lines of, where am I going to find time to write a book? You know, I've already had so much happening. So I thought, no time. Maybe when I'm retired I'll think about it, but not now. So I just let it go. So one morning I was out watering my oversized garden, summer morning, about 6 a.m. in the morning, the sun's up, and I'm just in that really light, meditative, trancy state, just enjoying the sounds of the birds and the early morning feelings and hearing the water splashing on the plants. And suddenly I got this really clear voice come through, and it was obviously angelic guidance, and the guidance was, you are to write a book, you are to call it Embraced by the Divine. It is to be a book for women, by women, and you are to hand-select women of a particularly high resonance to be co-authors in this book with you. It is about women sharing their authentic stories of the challenges and traumas they've been through and what got them to the other side. And you are to share teaching tools from yourself and the co-authors to help women practically move through challenging times to get to the other side, to not only survive but to thrive and to live their dreams. So I'm paraphrasing the last few words there, but that was the message. It was very clear and it just came through all in one hit, and it's like, whoa. Okay, and I started to think about it while I'm still watering. I think, okay, well, if I'm having co-authors writing this book with me, then presumably it's not going to take nearly as long to write. It should be an easier journey. Well, I suppose I should have asked for divine guidance on that one, because I tell you what, it would have been less stressful writing the book myself. I think it's been a major, major learning journey, and that's nothing at all against the co-authors. They've all been wonderful, but it's meant me requiring a whole other skill set around leadership skills and working with very powerful women and so on and so forth. But at that particular point in time when I first received the guidance, I felt, okay, angels, if you want me to do this enough, if this is part of my divine mission, if this is part of me impacting the lives of more women around the world, then okay, I'm prepared to do this. Please help me every step of the way, because I haven't done this before. I really don't know how to do this, so I'm relying on you, I'm counting on you to guide me in what it is that I need to do and how this whole thing comes together. And there have been so many times throughout the journey of this book. The book itself was written in 4 months. That wasn't the problem. All the stuff that came after it, like multiple editings, having a literary agent for a while, then deciding that wasn't working, and so many twists and convoluted turns getting to the stage of publication, which is now coming up in basically just a few days from now. The launch date is a few days from now. It has been a huge learning curve. It's caused me to step outside my comfort zone every day in areas which I have no idea about. You know, no idea about marketing a book or getting it on Kindle or all these other things, you know, or formatting the book properly so it uploads properly and doesn't spend, you know, so many learning journeys and right categories to pick, and oh, it's just mind-boggling. So anyway, it's happening. It's out there. Along the course of the journey, there have been so many times where I have just had to go into that place of complete surrender, letting go of trying to figure out and struggle and push to see what it is I'm supposed to be doing, and saying, having my conversations with the angels on a regular basis and saying, hey guys, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know how to do this. I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. Please guide me. Please show me what it is that is my next step. Please bring to me the resources, the people, the things that I need to get me through this, because, you know, I'm totally passionately committed to launching this book. So please help me. And the guidance comes through that, you know, it's about being in that place of surrender, releasing, letting go, letting God, and being called to stand in greater levels of faith and trust, which is part of the spiritual journey for all of us, especially when we've done the basic stuff and we're moving on to probably, you know, slightly more advanced levels where we are really being called to just stand in that place of faith and trust, knowing that there is a divine mission for us. It's all being handled upstairs, if you like, and we just need to trust and go with it, trusting that everything we need has already been figured out and it will be brought to us if we just step out of our own way and let the angels get on with their work.
You know, that's so very important. And even if we waver, because I've had a similar experience from something that happened years ago, and I would just have this one phrase that was repeating around in my head every single day until I finally said, okay, I hear you, and I started to write it down, and that became a book. But you're so right about being able to take that faith and trust and go with it, because even in the moments of doubt, and you've had doubts, I've had doubts, you still have to have that trust. I think it's so important. Tell us a little bit more. We only have a few minutes here, and congratulations. This has been a wonderful project for you. You have some incredible women who are co-authoring the book with you, and I can't wait to be a part of it. Tell us a little bit about the stories, if you will, and about the release of it and all of that good stuff.
Okay, well, basically the core message of Embrace by the Divine is that it doesn't matter what challenge or trauma life throws at us, there's always the chance to turn it around and to grow from the experience as a person. And each of the 16 co-authors in the book, and I also have my own chapter and other parts in the book as well, are all spiritual teachers in their own right. So the book itself is the personal stories of one or more crisis periods of that co-author's life and what they did or how it was turned around so that they grew very positively from the experience. So each chapter is a very juicy and inspiring read, so you can read it just on that level if you want to, but there are a lot of deep spiritual messages cloaked within the chapters as well, which will trigger deeper healing for people. The co-authors also share some of their favorite techniques, tools, processes for self-empowerment, for greater self-love, and all the things that women require, and men too, but to really step forth into their power, passion and purpose, and to know that your dreams are within reach. And, you know, there is really no excuse that you can make that can say, no, I can't live my dreams. So this is, it really is to inspire people that, you know, well, if these women who are in the book can be doing what they're doing now, because some of the co-authors are doing amazing things in the world at this time now, but if they can have been where they were and they're doing all this amazing stuff now, then hey, there's, you know, there's hope, there's courage for me. So that's it. It's, you know, they're stories of transformation and inspiration and motivation. So it's a self-help book, but it's certainly not a dry, boring, theoretical kind of book. It's a very juicy kind of read. We're all very raw and, you know, lay it out there on the line. And we really feel like soul sisters. We've all bonded very, very closely throughout the journey of this book. So the book itself is due to be released. The Kindle is being launched on December the 10th in the US, which is the 11th of December in Australia. And then the soft cover version will be coming out later in January, so January the 21st in the States and the 22nd in Australia. So people can go to the website, whether it's in pre-order phase or whether it's actually available to purchase today. And the website itself is embracedbythedivine.com. So it's just exactly the words, embracedbythedivine.com, and that's all one word apart from the .com. And either, depending on when you visit the site, you will be able to purchase the book directly and you know, have it sent out to you straight away, or you will be able to pre-order the book and it will be sent to you on the launch date. There'll also be a huge swag of really wonderful free gifts from myself, the co-authors, and lots of beautiful, wonderful partners that we have for the launches. We're also going to be offering a very good, cheap discount price for 24 hours on the launch day itself. So that's a really good time to get on board. If you pre-order the book, you'll also get it for the launch day price. And yeah, I think that's probably about it. So it will be available in all sorts of different medium, but for the time being, to start off with the Kindle launch, it's available, or it will be available on Amazon and on my website, and we'll add to that progressively as we go on.
Well, I'm very excited about this, and I'm going to be part of helping you bring this wonderful teaching, these spiritual messages forth. And Michelle, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show and blessing all of us. Tell everybody one more time the website for them to purchase the book.
Okay, it's www.embracedbythedivine, that's all one word, .com.
Wonderful. And Michelle, if they want to get in touch with you, is that the same website to go to find out more about what you're doing, or is there a different website?
Look, I've got three major websites. I'm not going to bore you with all the different names of them, but yes, on the Embrace by the Divine website, there's a Contact Us form, so people are welcome to get in touch with me using the Contact Us form.
Wonderful. What's a parting word of empowerment or enrichment or something that you would like to leave our listeners today?
Maybe one thing I didn't point out in the book is that the book is really targeted for women over 40 at that time of life where a lot of people feel they're over the hill, or that's what the media stereotypes is. The co-authors in the book are all women over 40, many over 50, myself included, some over 60, and we're all doing amazing things in the world in our own respective ways. So no matter what age you are, there are no excuses for, you know, that can stop you from starting what's been something that's been a passion of yours, what you've been putting in on the back burner maybe through the years of child raising, etc. There is nothing that you can use as an excuse to stop you from living your dreams. As you'll find when you read the book, the challenges that myself and the co-authors have been thrown are pretty incredible, and yet we have still managed to not only survive but thrive through the experience. So if we can do it, you can too.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, Michelle, and I look forward to being a part of it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Joanna. It's been a real honor and a pleasure to be on your show.
My pleasure as well. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye for now.
And next week, next Wednesday, the 16th, we're actually going to have a man on the show, and he's written a book called The Future is Female. So he gets it, and he understands us, and it's a wonderful experience. And what I want you to do is I want you to just take in some of the wonderful teachings that Michelle was talking about in terms of how you can receive guidance so many ways, and that the angels come really in a gentle but firm voice. They're not screaming, they're not shouting, they're not being abusive, they're being loving and guiding you course. And while you're being guided on course, remember that you have some incredible strengths and abilities and power within you, and you need to just tap into it and trust it and be able to utilize it for yourself and for many people. Take care, tune in next Wednesday, and remember that you have the power to power your dreams and to power your life. If you want to get a hold of me, go to docwhite.org, or if you want to check on some of our wonderful visionaries and teachers and leaders, go to Power Your Life Network. It's our newly launched network, and find out about the amazing people that are on there too. Have a blessed day, and thanks for being a part of Power Your Life.
You've been listening to the Power Your Life radio show with host and author Dr. Joanne White. Listen often and spread the word about the upbeat show to enrich you and grow your life in the direction you desire. Listen again and again and visit docwhite.org for more information and find out how Dr. Joanne can benefit you. Thank you for sharing your day with us, and stay tuned for more exciting guests and events to come.